Well, not only good morning, but happy Independence Day weekend. It's always a fun time and a bit of a challenge to try and see if there's a way to work a secular sort of holiday very worthy of celebration into a worship service and continue to do so so that it brings glory to God alone. And so I thought it would be interesting for us to sort of examine our scripture readings this morning in light of a word that I think we saw appearing in each one that we had, our Old Testament, our Psalm, our epistle, as well as our New Testament gospel reading. And that word is peace, peace. And I think it's something that as Americans that we need to value, we need to be thankful for, we need to be reminding ourselves daily of that peace that transcends all understanding, that is a gift from God alone. And I think collectively as a nation, it's something that we should be praying for. Perhaps it's a different form of peace. You know, the spiritual peace that we can get from Jesus Christ is certainly a blessing. But there is a need for peace in the world that we also know comes alone from God. I don't know that we always understand or that we're capable of understanding how it is that God can make that happen, given that we live in a world that just seems to be out of control. It seems to be absolutely crazy out there. Or is it just me? You guys have noticed this too, right? The world's kind of going crazy. I think that when we look at these scripture readings, it kind of gives us a little bit of a glimpse of perhaps what it is that we're called to do. And I think that there's a message embedded in there, particularly for those of us who understand the importance of the weekend that we're heading into when we celebrate our independence as a nation. When we understand the freedoms that are a precious gift, that ultimately they're not a gift, by the way, from our government. They're a gift from God. And we need to hold our government responsible for making sure that that freedom from God reigns. If we begin with that Old Testament reading, when we look at the prophet Isaiah, what he calls upon, what he proclaims, what he's telling the people to do is to rejoice. He says, rejoice with Jerusalem. Now, we've got to understand when this was written, right? This is certainly from ancient times, thousands of years ago. And so when we see things, particularly in the Old Testament, where prophets are talking about a given people such as Israel, such as Jerusalem, that today takes on a slightly different meaning for us. It's not necessarily that we're talking about a geographical people any longer, or that we're talking about a particular race of people any longer, like the Israelites and such. What we're talking about today, when we say things about, say, Israel, from a biblical sense, is true Israel. And that's us. We are true Israel. We are the church of Jesus Christ. So when we're seeing this rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her, for you will be nursed and be satisfied at her comforting breast. You will drink deeply and delight in her overflowing abundance. That is a promise for us. That is a promise for true Israel. That is a promise for those who place their faith and their trust in their Savior, Jesus Christ. And it should be very comforting to us. This promise that we will be able to nurse, it gives us a beautiful image of a God who is our provider. When we recognize just how broken we are, when we recognize just how incapable of doing anything truly good on our own we are, then we recognize our need for a provider God. And just like a little infant, just like a little baby needs to be able to be held by its mother and suckle its mother's breast for nourishment, that's the kind of relationship we need to be in with our God. If only more Americans would understand that. He goes on to say, I will extend peace to her like a river. You will, here's the word that the nursing image comes up again. You will nurse and be carried on her arm. So what are we supposed to do with that? Well, the psalmist gives us an answer to that. He says, shout to God, all the earth. We should be praising God. We should be lifting our voices in praise of all the blessings that we have. We should be ever mindful of those blessings. How do we do that? One of the ways we remain mindful of all that we've been blessed with is to actually make it a habit to pray prayers of thanksgiving. to tell God on a daily basis all the blessings that you're finding in your life and to thank Him for them. And I promise you this, the more often you do that, the more you're going to find that you've been blessed. And the more often you find that you've been blessed and the more often you thank God for the blessings, the more blessings you begin to see showing up in your life. It's a shift. It's a shift away from the way the enemy wants you to think. The Bible says the enemy came only to kill and to destroy. But God sent Jesus Christ that you would have a more abundant life. And if you want an abundant life of blessings, tune into those blessings. Give thanks for those blessings. Find yourself rejoicing, shouting to joy, just like the psalmist declares that we should. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, God. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. It's an important lesson for us to learn. When we're seeking peace that God alone can provide for us, we should be thanking God for the peace that we've had in our life, the peace we're finding in our life now, and even thanking Him future focus for the peace that is yet to come. And if we find ourselves boasting, Paul tells us today in Galatians what we should be boasting on is not the stuff that we've been able to do, any of the good that we've been able to do. We should be boasting in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what he says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he ends his epistle this morning with these words. He says, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all you who follow this rule to the Israel of God. And again, recognizing that Israel, that true Israel today, is God's holy people. See, we're not a nation geographically. We're not a race of people. Praise God that God's chosen people now actually get to be grafted into the family of God, not by what we do, but by what we believe, because of what's already been done for us in that cross of Christ that Paul tells us that we should be boasting in. Sometimes I find we use the NIV translation right here in our church, and sometimes I'll come across a verse that will throw me off in the primary readings I'm doing, which is usually with the NIV. And so I'll go to another version and say, well, let me see how they've translated that somewhere else. And I think that with this particular ending of the epistle we had this morning, that's kind of how I found myself this week. And so I went and looked in the New Living Translation. I wanted to just share it with you because I think it gives us a different way of understanding what Paul is saying there. It might be a little bit clearer for us. He says, it doesn't matter whether you've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. That might need to be our prayer as Christians for this entire nation of ours that we're celebrating, that more souls will be saved for Jesus Christ, that more people will come to God through the mercy that's offered them through Christ alone, that they may come to experience the grace of God that comes to them with a relationship in His only Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, that they may find peace in every way through God. Our gospel today gives us an image of Jesus sending out apostles into the world, disciples into the world, and He sends them out two by two. And that's interesting. And I think there's probably a literal meaning to that. That's exactly how He sent them out. But I think there's also a spiritual and figurative meaning for us as Christians who are called to go out into the world, called to go out into our very own neighborhoods, called to go out into this nation of ours whose birthday we're celebrating this weekend and preach the good news of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And it's this, we don't need to do it alone. Two by two is how Jesus sends them out. And you say, well, I don't know. Nobody wants to do that with me. Well, you're never alone. You've always got the Holy Spirit of God living in you. In your prayer time, you're not alone. That's a one-on-one conversation with God. And the way I do math, granted I went to public school, but 1 + 1 = 2. You've got God on your side. And when he says he's appointed 72 others, it made me think almost in terms of like there's an army of disciples going out to preach the good news. And that made me again start thinking about this weekend that we have going on right now, this Independence Day weekend, and how thankful we need to be, not just for the spiritual gift of peace that comes to us through Jesus Christ, but that worldly peace that comes about through the security that we have in our nation. Think about this. This is probably so simplistic that it never even crosses your mind. You got up this morning, you got out of bed, maybe you had some coffee, you took a shower, you got in a car, and you came over to church to worship. You can't do that in China, because there's a good chance that they'll throw you in jail and possibly even execute you. You can't do that in Iran, because there's a good chance that someone will turn you in, they'll find you and jail you and possibly execute you for your faith in Jesus Christ. How blessed you are with the security of freedom and peace that we enjoy in this very nation of ours. Is our nation perfect? Nope, not even close. Could we stand some improvements? Yep, lots of them. But we need to thank God that we still have the freedoms and the rights that we have. And we need to do that on a daily basis. And I was thinking of this image of this 72 going out and preaching. It conjured up for me an image of an army of disciples. And so what I did this 4th of July weekend was I thought maybe we should be praying for our army. Maybe we should be praying for our Navy, praying for our Air Force, for our Marines, for our Coast Guard, for our National Guard, for those men and women who are right now somewhere, some of them even in harm's way, standing proud, serving this nation whose birthday we celebrate to protect us so that we can enjoy freedom, so that we can enjoy peace, so that we can come to worship this morning and not worry that there's some government official who's following us who would throw us in jail for doing what we are doing freely this morning. So I got these little toy soldiers. And I was talking to Mr. Tom before service because Mr. Tom bravely served this country in World War II as a Marine. And I said, you know, when I talked to the 830 crowd this morning, I kind of generically used the term soldier. And I realized that not all members of our military are technically soldiers. Marines are Marines. Navy men are what? Corpsmen? What do they call them? Called Navy, right? And what do I know? I was only a Boy Scout. But I think if we can, if you would forgive me, if I could just call these little toy soldiers, what we called them when we were kids, which was toy soldiers, I want them today to be a reminder and a representation for each of you of all those men and women serving this country, whether it's in the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, National Guard, etc. The harm's way that they may be in. And what I'm going to do in a moment is I'm going to offer a prayer over these little toys and ask that the Lord bless them so that they become a reminder for us. And that each of you take one home with you today. And that you put that little soldier somewhere. Put him on a shelf. Put him by the TV. Put him by the phone. Do something with him. So that every day, that little piece of plastic can serve as a reminder to you to remember to give thanks to God for those men and women who are serving our country and who have served our country that give us the freedom and the peace and the liberty and the ability to celebrate this 240th birthday of our great nation and to worship our Lord freely. Would you do that? Let's bow our heads and let's offer a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every man and woman who has ever worn the uniform of our great nation. We thank you for those who have made an ultimate sacrifice by giving their life. Lord, we ask that you pour out special blessings and protection over those who are continuing to serve our nation. Wherever they may be, send your ministering angels to watch over them and protect them. Bring a peace to them that transcends all understanding. Be with their family, wherever their families may be, that they may know your presence. Lord, We thank you for the blessing that is this great country of ours. And we ask that your Holy Spirit continue to move amongst us, that we are empowered by your gospel to continue to go out into this world, to share the good news of the saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ, that peace may prevail amongst all according to your holy will. It's in the name of your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, that we pray. And all God's children said, Amen.